We want to talk now about those words that we use in the media when we're talking about Israel and how the media is covering the situation in Gaza. It has never been an easy subject to cover. It seems every word a reporter says or writes is contested by one side or the other. Jon Stewart poked fun at that earlier this week on The Daily Show.
We'll start tonight in the Middle East, where Israel...
What? Israel isn't supposed to defend itself?
Oh, yeah, if Mexico bombed Texas, will we exercise...
What other countries held to the same standard as Israel?
People that want to destroy our terrorism?
4,000-year plan.
It's the only democracy in the Middle East, you can't.
Self-hating Jew?
That was weird.
Jon Stewart, but in all seriousness, within the last week, two American television networks have pulled their correspondents out of the region and off of their coverage. NBC yanked Ayman Mohideen after he witnessed the death of four young Palestinian boys on the beach, although after a couple of days, he was returned to the post there. And CNN correspondent Diana Magne was reassigned to Russia after she said some controversial things on social media about some Israelis she met. David Folkenflik is NPR's media correspondent. He joins us regularly to talk about news coverage, and he's with us again from New York. David, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy.
Well, what is it about this conflict in particular that makes it so difficult for journalists to cover?
I think it's incredibly fraught. I think it's historic. I think it goes back decades, or in some ways, back to the Bible for many people. And I think it's also essentially seemingly insoluble. I mean, it's something without resolution, so that there are people who, Israel doesn't want to deal with Hamas, the more militant institution in dealing with the Palestinians. And Hamas has stated that it wants to, wipe Israel off the earth. You've got two entities which seem inclined not only to not want to strike a decent bargain, but not to acknowledge the legitimacy of the other in doing so. So the coverage of this means that you've got reporters who are, the idea of fairness, as one longtime network correspondent put it to me earlier today, kind of goes out the window. It's really more a question of you have two competing narratives which are irreconcilable, and therefore, a strict adherence to what you can show and prove and facts on the ground is probably the safest bet for reporters there.
Well, let's talk about what happened with CNN and Diana Magne. She was reassigned to Russia, and we have a little bit of the report she filed just before that happened. She was standing on a hillside watching missiles launch into Gaza just hours after the IDF began its ground invasion. Let's listen.
And you can see another rocket going in from Israel, slowly making its way, presumably a precision-guided missile, coming into the northern part of the Gaza Strip, and it seems as though the bombardment has been very much in Beit Lahia. Now, the sound that you are hearing here, we're on the top of a hill, and I think you can probably see there are lots of Israelis gathered around who are cheering when they see these kinds of Israeli strikes.
And following that report, Magne tweeted that several of those spectators, quote, threatened to destroy our car if I say a word wrong, scum. She called them. David, do we know if that was the reason that this CNN correspondent was reassigned?
Yes, I can report. That's been confirmed for me by a senior figure at CNN who, is well acquainted with that situation. And, in talking to journalists about this, there's sort of a uniform belief that it's not wrong to reflect, an understanding and even a human reaction to that. I mean, her reaction is, look, Israelis are understandably angered and anguished at the fact that rockets are being fired, almost indiscriminately, if not particularly effectively, on their soil and can, in fact, kill or hurt people. But that what they're witnessing are missile strikes that are going to probably hit fairly tightly packed targets in Gaza. Obviously, the Palestinians have taken a far higher casualty toll there. Hundreds of people are dead. Far fewer in Israel have been killed. And therefore, she was reflecting the fact that you're seeing people in a surreal moment seemingly cheering the firing of missiles that will kill people that have nothing to do necessarily with the rockets that are being fired back at them. And her evaluation, her judgment, her contempt for them, her seeming lack of understanding for their perspective of it, put her in a position where CNN felt she just couldn't reflect what's happening in that region at this time any longer.
What about the situation with Ayman Mohideen at NBC, pulled off and then put back in?
Well, a little more complicated, but equally instructive. You know, Glenn Greenwald on The Intercept, you know, crusading a journalist of the left who's been skeptical of commercial media, has argued that it seemed as though he's being pulled back because of his eyewitness account of four boys on the beach in Gaza being killed, not intentionally necessarily, but as a result of a Israeli strike there. And yet, you know, what Brian Stelter of CNN has reported and others seemingly support is that it may have been a little different, that they wanted a star in their Richard Engel, their chief international correspondent for NBC, as a face on this conflict, as somebody who can help deal with ratings, as NBC is being challenged very strongly by ABC right now. And that actually you see commercial implications rather than ideological ones, but it's viewed through that prism. And that tells you a lot about how we look at coverage in Israel and Palestine.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik joining us from New York. David, thank you very much.
You bet.